Hello, it's time to read from the Sioux City Journal for today, Saturday, June 13th, 2020. My name is John Reef, and I'll be bringing you the news today. This is what a look at what we'll be reading. First, we'll start with the weather and the mini editorial, and we go to stories on the front page, followed by more stories on the inside pages of local interest. At the 20-minute mark, we'll read the opinion page and letters to the editor. Then at 8:30, the obituaries, followed by more stories, sports, and Dear Abby around the 50 mark. Taking a look at the weather for today, looks like partly sunny, breezy this afternoon, a high of 91 degrees. Winds out of the southeast at 8 to 16 miles an hour. Breezy tonight with patchy clouds. Winds east-southeast 10 to 20 miles per hour. A low tonight, 65. Tomorrow, windy with times of clouds and sun. A high of 90 degrees tomorrow and winds out of the south-southeast at 20 to 30 miles per hour. 73 for the low on Sunday night. And then windy and hot with high clouds on Monday. Winds again south-southeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour and a high of 94 degrees. Monday night's low of 73. Tuesday, partly sunny, windy and hot, a high of 95. And partly sunny, breezy and very warm on Wednesday, a high of 92 degrees. Taking a look now at the mini editorial. This from Bonnie Idie Selkin of Sioux City. And it reads as follows. Be responsible if you are a dog owner. Please make sure the dog is on a strong leash and unable to attack others. All shots should be current. Dog bites are physically harmful and extremely costly with an emergency room visit, a tetanus shot, medication, and 4 rabies shots. Please be responsible. Good advice there again from Bonnie Idie Selkin of Sioux City. Now to the front page, water parks, pools open as restrictions eased. Governor Reynolds lifted virus limitations Wednesday. This by Nick Heitrek, Dateline Sioux Center, Iowa. Dave Reuter knew the tsunami water park staff was in for a big opening day. Within minutes after Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds on Wednesday lifted COVID-19 restrictions on the state's swimming pools and water parks, the Sioux Center Water Park announced it would open on Friday. And since that announcement, callers have flooded the phone lines at the All Season Center, which operates the water park, to buy memberships. Facility manager Dave Reuter said 45 were sold in a couple of hours on Friday morning alone. People are just streaming in, Reuter said prior to the park's opening. And once they could actually dip their toes in the pool again, the stream continued. A line began forming by 11:30 a.m. for the noon opening for members. Non-members were able to enter at 1 p.m. It's not packed, but it's nice, Reuter said of the opening day crowd. There's a lot of people, but they're spread out. Friday's opening of the state's swimming pools was the latest step in Iowa's easing of restrictions on businesses and other services that were shut down in March to help curb the spread of COVID-19. Some cities and towns have opted to keep their pools closed this summer. Those that chose to open are following a host of state and federal health guidelines. Social distancing will be encouraged, and lifeguards are trained to disinfect pool equipment, furniture, and other high-traffic areas. I think everyone has a positive attitude. We have these policies in place to help everyone feel safe when using our facility, said Tanya Vandegrind, an All Seasons Center office assistant. Operators of Kings Point Water Park Resort in Storm Lake, Iowa, said the indoor/outdoor water park will not open at this time because of a recent spike in COVID-19 cases in Buena Vista County, where the park is located. We're currently monitoring what is going on in our community with COVID-19, said Mark Closley, general manager of the Oasis Resort, which includes the water park. The park's outdoor pool has only been open for lap swimming. Closley said he hoped to decide next week on tentative plans to open Kings Point yet this summer. I just think we've got to go day to day, and as things get better, we'll plot the course, Closley said. Sioux City's Parks and Recreation Department on May 20th announced its 3 swimming pools would not open for regular operations this year. Parks and Recreation Director Matt Salvatore said after Reynolds' Wednesday announcement that the city is looking into whether the pools could open yet this summer, but for now the plan remains to keep them closed. We're seeing what it would take. The hard part is the social distancing, Salvatore said. Sioux City pools will remain open for swimming lessons and lap swimming as allowed under previous state directives. Lap swimming and swimming lessons were available in Sioux Center 2 at the All Season Center indoor pool in recent weeks. At the same time, staff members were developing policies in accordance with State Health Department and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines in preparation for the opening day they all hoped would come. "We have been planning this for a number of weeks ahead of time," Reuter said. According to the CDC, there is no evidence that the coronavirus, which is spread by person-to-person contact, mainly through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes, can be spread through water. Tsunami staff will disinfect life jackets, inner tubes, and deck chairs at the end of each day, and park visitors can ask for items to be disinfected before they use them. Door handles, handrails, and other high-touch areas will be disinfected hourly. Hand sanitizer will be available at several locations, and concession workers will wear masks and gloves. Reuter said all chairs have been spaced 6 feet apart in groups of two or three, and marks have been placed to keep swimmers the proper distance apart while waiting to use slides and other water features. "We are going to do everything possible to socially distance any way we can," he said. Since its opening last July, Tsunami averaged 792 visitors a day. At 2:30 p.m. Friday, Reuter estimated the crowd at 500 to 600. He was happy to welcome them all back. "I'm looking forward to seeing people again enjoying our facility," he said. It shows several inset pictures. On page A5, it shows lifeguard Peter Westerbeek monitoring a group floating in the Lazy River Friday at Tsunami Water Park in Sioux Center, Iowa. "An estimated 500 to 600 people had turned out by mid-afternoon for the opening day at the water park, which had been closed because of the COVID-19 panic. Another picture shows children playing on a 12-foot floating alligator feature Friday at Tsunami Water Park in Sioux Center. On the front page, it shows a boy going down a water slide Friday at Tsunami Park in Sioux Center, Iowa. Friday, of course, was the first day that Iowa swimming pools and water parks could be opened for public swimming since Governor Kim Reynolds lifted an order that closed the public facilities because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Next story on the front page, also about COVID-19, clinical research site moving to Sioux City. Meridian is conducting trials on COVID-19 vaccine. This by Dolly Butts and Dateline Sioux City. A rapidly growing clinical research company plans to move its operations from Dakota Dunes to an existing building on Sioux City's east side by July 1st. Meridian Clinical Research, LLC, which is conducting investigative trials on a vaccine intended to protect against the novel coronavirus, has decided to lease and renovate an existing building at 4802 Sunnybrook Drive. As part of the project, Meridian will retain 10 employees, hire 27 new employees, and invest over $2.4 million. The Sioux City Council will be asked Mondays to support Meridian's application for $154,608 in tax incentives over 10 years through Iowa's Targeted Jobs Program. The Morningside facility, which formerly housed a CNOS clinic, will be 4 times larger than Meridian's current Dakota Dunes site, according to documents filed with the city. The new location will enable Meridian to service more clinical research trials simultaneously, bring on additional specialized therapeutic areas for studies, and create an on-site lab and new participant recruitment call center. The urgency of the move and significant increase in scale has been predicated by COVID-19 and the company's role as a premier site partner in administering vaccine trials for numerous pharmaceutical companies developing vaccines to control the virus, according to court documents. Omaha-based Meridian, founded in 1999, partners with pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies to research vaccines, drugs, medical devices, therapies, and diagnostics. The company includes 20 research sites and over 130 full-time employees located in 7 states. In late April, Meridian announced the beginning of clinical vaccine trials in Dakota Dunes, Norfolk, and Omaha, and in Savannah, Georgia as well. Andrew Kimball, Vice President of Business Development of Meridian, told the Journal that vaccine trials generally enroll between 50 to 250 participants per location. Back to the front page, and this one not so good news as far as COVID-19. Arnold's Park shutters amusement park and boat. This is by Mason Doctor. Arnold's Park amusement park officials announced Friday that the amusement park, museums, and the Queen II boat will be shut down beginning Saturday due to the coronavirus pandemic. We want to assure the community that we have had no cases of COVID-19 in our organization, but our number one priority at all times is safety. We hope to do our part now and slow the spread in this community so that we can come back together later on and enjoy a great summer season. We will reopen when it is safe to do so. We will post updates on our website and social media pages, Arnold's Park officials wrote in a press release. It is unclear when the park will reopen. Arnold's Park Marketing Director Paul Plum said Friday that park officials will be monitoring the virus situation over the next several days. Obviously, sooner than later is what we want, Plum said of the possibility of reopening. Dickinson County, where Arnold's Park is located, has not seen as large an outbreak of COVID-19 as some other Northwest Iowa counties, most notably Woodbury, Buena Vista, Crawford, and Sioux counties. Nevertheless, Dickinson County has seen an uptick in infections. In the 10-day period between June 2nd to June 12th, the county went from 21 to 119 known infections. Arnold's Park, an attraction dating back to the 19th century, is one of the major tourist draws at the Iowa Great Lakes. In recent years, the park has been the site of a multi-million-dollar, multi-year restoration and upgrades campaign called Restore the Park. The Arnold's Park announcement follows a decision reached this week by Iowa State Fair officials not to have a fair this year, and a similar decision regarding the Plymouth County Fair. Inset picture on page A6 shows the Ferris wheel seen at Arnold's Park, Iowa, in a 2019 Journal file photo. Arnold's Park officials announced Friday that the amusement park would be closed beginning Saturday due to the COVID-19 panic. Reynolds signs racial justice bill. Governor Kim Reynolds said it will go down as one of the Iowa legislature's finest hours. With dozens of state lawmakers and racial justice protesters looking on, Reynolds on Friday signed into law a package of law enforcement reforms. Provisions in the new law include a ban on the use of chokeholds with some exceptions, require de-escalation and bias training, a ban on hiring officers who have been fired for misconduct or using excessive force, and clearance for the state attorney general to investigate cases when an officer's actions resulted in an individual's death. The new law is a direct product of the backlash and protests that have erupted since the May 25th death of George Floyd, a black Minnesota man who died after a white officer knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes while three other officers watched. The upsetting tragedy, the crime that took George Floyd's life on a street in Minneapolis, opened the eyes of the nation and sparked a movement. It also reinforced the message of our African-American brothers and sisters that have been telling us for years that injustice exists and it is unacceptable in a free and great nation such as this, Reynolds said. This bill is a loud and resounding signal from the people of Iowa and its leaders that we are ready and willing to act. The legislation, House File 2647, was announced Thursday afternoon and passed through both chambers of the legislature within the next 90-plus minutes. Such rapid action in the legislature is almost unprecedented. While Reynolds spoke Friday, protesters with Black Lives Matter stood silently with their fists raised. They chanted Black Lives Matter while Reynolds signed the bill into law and cheered when she was finished. It feels like joy. It feels like pure joy. Everyone is kind of hugging and dancing and singing, Matthew Burke, a black man from Des Moines and an organizer with Black Lives Matter, said as music played and protesters danced behind him. While they celebrated the new law, activists, lawmakers, and Reynolds all continued to caution that it represents just a first step toward responding to the calls for the advancement of racial justice. This is a culmination of centuries of people feeling unheard, oppressed. And I don't want to overstate what happened, but I also don't want to understate the significance of it either. It's a small step, but just because it's small doesn't mean it's not significant, said Representative Russ Smith, a Democrat and black man from Waterloo. We're a nation that can be better than we've been, but we have to challenge ourselves every day to do so. Smith and Burke said the next policy goals of the movement include ensuring the restoration of voting rights for felons who have completed their sentences, anti-racial profiling measures for law enforcement, and a decriminalization of marijuana. Reynolds could restore felons' voting rights with an executive order, but thus far has resisted that route, saying she prefers the more permanent but multiple years action of amending the state constitution. Burke, however, said in a Black Lives Matter meetings with Reynolds this week, she told them she is drafting language for such an executive order. Reynolds did not take questions after Friday's bill signing, and her spokesman did not immediately respond to a request for comment Monday. Legislation that would start the process of amending the state constitution is working its way through the legislature, but Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitaker, a Republican from Ankeny, said Friday, whether the Senate advances that bill depends on whether Reynolds plans to issue an executive order. Moving now to page A3, Woodbury County COVID-19 positive test rate holds steady. This is by Mason Doctor, Dateline Sioux City. On Friday, 54 patients were receiving COVID-19 care in Sioux City hospitals. It was the lowest figure reported since health officials began releasing this data in early May. The number of COVID-19 patients hospitalized in Sioux City has declined by about one-third compared to 5 weeks ago. At a press conference Friday afternoon, Siouxland District Health Deputy Director Tyler Brock said that during this week, roughly 12% of people in the county who were tested for the virus were found positive. This percentage was unchanged from last week, but down considerably from the high positive percentages of April. So we're definitely trending in the right direction still, although it would have been nice to see that drop down a little bit, Brock said. Fewer people have sought testing for the virus in recent days, and Brock stressed that the virus testing remains available to those in the county who need it. The total number of new confirmed infections in both Woodbury and Dakota counties has remained relatively low this week. On several days, the counties recorded fewer than 10 new infections. Siouxland District Health on Friday recorded 13 new infections in the county and one additional death, a man between 41 and 60 years old. To date, a total of 39 deaths attributable to the virus have been recorded in Woodbury County. The majority of Woodbury County's known infections have recovered. As of Friday, the county has seen 2,986 infections and 2,360 recoveries. Most of the residents and staff of Sioux City's Holy Spirit Retirement Home who tested positive for the virus have recovered. Of the 26 infections reported there, 23 are considered recovered. Neighboring Dakota County recorded only one new infection on Friday and no deaths. The death toll there stands at 31 people. A total of 1,732 people in Dakota County have tested positive for the virus, and 1,338 of those have recovered. The Northeast Nebraska Public Health Department, which covers Cedar, Dixon, Thurston, and Wayne counties, reported two COVID-19 deaths on Friday, though the agency did not specify which counties those individuals lived in. One was a child and the other was an individual in their 20s, both of whom suffered from underlying health conditions. An outbreak of the virus in Buena Vista County is continuing apace with some 1,475 infections and 6 deaths reported there to date. During the past 2 weeks, the county has more than doubled its tally of COVID-19 infections. Tyson Foods earlier this month acknowledged that 591 of its workers at a Storm Lake pork processing plant were tested positive for the virus. Of Buena Vista's known infections, 301 are considered recovered, according to the Iowa Department of Public Health data. Brock, in Friday afternoon's press conference, said virus numbers in other Northwest Iowa counties remain alarming. Regionally, Northwest Iowa COVID cases are still too high. They flat out are. While things are improving here in Woodbury County and have been for several weeks, some of our other more rural counties, our surrounding counties, have seen increases over the last couple of weeks, Brock said. Most other counties in Northwest Iowa recorded new infections on Friday, though the tallies were smaller, 10 or fewer in each case. The same was true of Yankton, Clay, and Union counties in southeast South Dakota, and Dixon and Thurston counties in Nebraska. Data from Regional Medical Coordination Center 3, which represents Northwest Iowa, indicates that 32 COVID-19 patients are in the ICU with 17 on ventilators. Statewide, a total of 23,350 Iowans who have tested positive for the virus, of whom 14,290 are considered recovered and 644 have died, according to State's Department of Public Health. In South Dakota, some 5,742 people have tested positive, but only 913 of these are considered active infections. 74 deaths attributed to the virus have been recorded in the state, according to the South Dakota Department of Health. Nebraska's Department of Health and Human Services has recorded a total of 16,513 infections, of whom 9,610 are considered recovered and 216 have died. Shows a graph on page A3 of the Siouxland COVID-19 cases by county. In South Dakota, Yankton holds a 58, Clay 56, Union 109. In Nebraska, Cedar County with 8, Wayne with 26, Thurston with 142, Dixon County with 41, and Dakota County leading in Nebraska with 1,732. In Iowa, Lyon County at 29, Osceola at 49, Dickinson at 119, Sioux County has 349, O'Brien at 64, Clay 59, Plymouth County has 190, Cherokee 56, Buena Vista at 1,475, Ida County with 17, Sac County with 37, Monona County 31, Crawford County with a ton, 593, and the most, of course, Woodbury County, 2,987. Going to the opinion page, there's an Other Voices today from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. That's all we have today. It's DeCamba ruling another letdown for farmers. A federal court has come down hard on the Environmental Protection Agency for allowing farmers to continue spraying the weed killer DeCamba on crops, even though it was obvious the chemical was toxic to non-resistant crops. The immediate ban imposed by the court on continued DeCamba spraying seems certain to deal a catastrophic blow to an agriculture industry that has grown heavily dependent on the herbicide. This is yet another Trump administration mess that should by now have farmers questioning why the president deserves any continued support. President Donald Trump launched a disastrous trade war with China that destroyed their biggest export market. His bungled response to the pandemic further evaporated markets and put a stranglehold on produce distribution networks. The EPA did nothing to prepare farmers for a ruling that appeared to almost certain from the beginning to go against DeCamba's in continued use. The evidence was overwhelming, as the unanimous ruling by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals made clear that the herbicide tends to evaporate under certain conditions or drift in wind and settle onto adjacent fields. The ruling quoted a study by Professor Kevin Bradley of the University of Missouri that by the end of 2017, 2,708 formal complaints of DeCamba-caused damage were being investigated by state departments of agriculture. The study estimated that approximately 3.6 million acres of soybeans in 24 states were damaged by DeCamba drift. DeCamba's developer, Creve Coeur-based Monsanto, and parent company Bayer have long tried to shift blame, saying farmers failed to follow instructions. Damaged crops were the result of other factors unrelated to DeCamba. It always seems to be someone else's fault, but the 56-page federal court ruling left no doubt that the herbicide is to blame. The EPA's decision in 2018 to extend approval of DeCamba's use for another 2 years, quoting here, substantially understated, end quote, multiple risks recognized by the agency, and, quoting, also entirely failed to acknowledge, end quote, others, the ruling said. Missouri Farm Bureau President Blake Hurst raised an immediate alarm, writing to EPA, unless immediate action is taken to restore this product's availability for use during the growing season now well underway, the impact will further disrupt the economy. From farmers to agricultural suppliers to the food supply chain, individuals and businesses already facing the toughest challenges of their lives, it will be widespread. The EPA, defying the June 3rd ruling, told farmers this week they should continue spraying until July 31st to use up their existing stock, but supplies purchased after June 3rd may not be used. It was the EPA that set farmers up for the prospect of worse heartbreak and financial loss. Farmers would be smart to abide by the court ruling rather than place more faith in a defiant Trump administration with a history of creating far more problems than it solves for American agriculture. Again, that from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on the opinion page. Back to page A3, voting sites open for special election. 7 polling sites will be open for the July 7th special election to fill a vacant Woodbury County Board of Supervisors seat. Woodbury County Auditor and Recorder Election Commissioner Pat Gill on Friday announced that voters are not assigned to a specific polling place and may cast their ballots at any of the following vote centers: Clark Elementary School at 4315 Hamilton Boulevard, Riverside Elementary School at 2303 Riverside Boulevard, Longlines Family Rec Center, and Nodland Elementary School at 3300 South Cypress Street. Longlines Family Rec Center at 401 Gordon Drive, and Nodland Elementary School, 3300 South Cypress Street, all in Sioux City. Also Sergeant Bluff Luton High School at 708 Warrior Road in Sergeant Bluff, Mobile Community Center at 815 East Main Street in Mobile, and Odo City Hall, 27 Washington Street in Odo. Voters will choose between Democrat Tim Cassina and Republican Justin Wright to fill the District 2 seat previously held by Jeremy Taylor, who resigned in January over residency issues. The special election had been scheduled for April 14th, but was postponed by a directive from Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate out of concerns for the spread of the novel coronavirus. Gill on Friday encouraged voters to vote absentee or to vote curbside at the Woodbury County Courthouse up until Election Day to lessen the risk of spread of the coronavirus among voters and poll workers. His office has received more than 9,800 requests for ballots for the special election. More than 8,000 have been returned to be counted. Gill asked that anyone who has not yet returned an absentee ballot to mail it or drop it at the ballot box located at the courthouse entrance. If someone requested a ballot and has not returned it because they plan to vote in person, call the auditor's office at 279-6465 to void the request. Voters wishing to vote absentee can download a request form at sos.iowa.gov/elections/pdf/absenteeballotapp.pdf or call the auditor's office to request a form to be mailed to them. Voters also can come to the courthouse, park in one of the reserved spots outside of the entrance, call the office at 279-6465, and a ballot will be delivered to you to vote in your car. Man charged with trying to kill informant. This is by Nick Heitrich, Dateline Sioux City. A Sioux City man has been indicted on federal charges of trying to kill another man in retaliation for his cooperation with law enforcement officers. A federal indictment filed Thursday in U.S. District Court in Sioux City charges Little Hawk Eagle Elk, 35, with attempted murder, obstruction of justice by retaliating against an informant, damage to property, obstruction of justice by retaliating against an informant, and possession of a firearm in furtherance of a crime of violence. According to court documents, on March 22nd, Eagle Elk approached the man who was sitting in the driver's side of a vehicle in the 600 block of 13th Street, pulled out a shotgun, and fired a shot that broke out the windshield in front of the driver in retaliation for providing law enforcement with information related to possible federal crimes. Eagle Elk also is accused of hitting another man in the head with the butt of a shotgun and entering a residence in the 1200 block of Jones Street with two others and taking a television set, cash, and the victim's cell phone. According to the indictment, the home invasion, which took place hours before the shooting, also was in retaliation for the shooting victim's cooperation with law enforcement. Eagle Elk pleaded not guilty in April in Woodbury County District Court to attempted murder, felon in possession of a firearm, robbery, burglary, and assault. Those charges will be dismissed now that he faces federal charges. Taria Grant, 28, and Joshua Walker, 28, both of Wald Hill, Nebraska, have pleaded not guilty in the Woodbury County District Court to robbery, burglary, and assault in connection with the home invasion. They have not been indicted in federal court. It is the 30-minute mark in time now to read the obituaries, starting with Sioux City. Reed M. Swaggerty Morgan of Sioux City, 13 years old, passed away Saturday, June 6, 2020. Service will be June 16th, 10:30 a.m. at Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel. Burial will be in Logan Park Cemetery. Visitation will be June 15th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. From Sioux City, 67-year-old Douglas K. Cardwell passed away Wednesday, June 10th. A celebration of life will be at a later date. Wadbury Funeral Service of Sergeant Bluff is handling the arrangements. From Mapleton, Iowa, Marge Hagerton, H-A-G-E-R-D-O-N, of Mapleton, 80 years old, passed away Monday, June 8th. Service will be June 15th at 10:30 a.m. Armstrong Van Houten Funeral Home of Mapleton is handling the arrangements. Burial will be at Little Sioux Township Cemetery in Smithland. Visitation June 15th from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. at the funeral home. From South Sioux City, Martha M. Albright, A-L-B-R-E-C-H-T, 90 years old, of South Sioux City, passed away Wednesday, June 10th, at the Regency Square Care Center. Private services will be Monday at Salem Lutheran Church in Ponca, Nebraska, with Reverend Patty Meyer officiating. Interment will be in Memorial Park Cemetery in Sioux City. Visitation with the family will be 2 to 5 p.m. Sunday, June 14th, at Moore Funeral Home in Ponca. Online condolences may be offered to the family at MeyerBrosChapels.com. Martha was born on June 24, 1929, in Dakota County, rural Jackson, Nebraska, to Carl and Elizabeth Rasmussen Hansen. She received her education in Waterbury, Nebraska, graduating with the class of 1947. Martha married Harold Albright on January 7, 1948, in Sioux City. She was a homemaker her entire life, always helping on the family farm where she and Harold raised five children. Martha didn't move off the farm until 2005, when she moved to Ponca and made her final move to Regency Square Care Center in 2017. Martha was a 4-H leader for many years, was a member of WELCA, and served on the election boards in Dakota and Dixon counties. One of her greatest joys was her family, especially spoiling her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There were many memories made sitting on the counter helping her bake cookies. The last one for today from Sioux City, Mary L. Moore, M-O-H-R, of Sioux City, 71 years old. She died Wednesday, June 10th. Private service will be at a later date. It's being handled by Waterbury Funeral Service of Sioux City. Going back down to page A3, teen wants trials moved from Monona County. This is by Nick Hytrek, Dateline Ottawa. The lawyer for an Ottawa teenager charged in separate cases with murder and sexual abuse wants trials for both cases moved from Monona County. Public defender Lori Lau also has asked that J. Lee Newbaum be tried in separate trials for each of the 10 sexual abuse charges he faces. No hearings on the motions have been scheduled. Newbaum, 17, is currently scheduled to stand trial in August in Monona County District Court for first-degree murder for the January 31st shooting death of 16-year-old Joseph Hopkins in Mapleton, Iowa. Newbaum entered a written plea of not guilty Friday to 10 counts of third-degree sexual abuse for the alleged rape of six teenage girls and forced sexual contact with a seventh. A day after the judge denied Lau's motion to have Newbaum's cases transferred to juvenile court, Lau filed her motions for a change of venue and to sever the 10 counts of third-degree sexual abuse from each other. Because of numerous media reports in both cases, Lau said Newbaum cannot receive a fair trial in Monona County. The defendant will suffer prejudice from pretrial publicity that is linked to him to all cases, Lau said in her motion. Neubaum also has significant family ties to the area, and potential jurors likely will have heard details about the cases that could impact their impartiality at the trial, Lau said. In her motion to sever the sexual abuse charges for separate trials, Lau said each count alleges a separate incident or a separate victim. If Neubaum is tried for all counts during one trial, he could be prejudiced if jurors hear evidence that's inadmissible in one count being introduced in an effort to prove another count. Put in other words, a court may order separate trials of offenses if it appears that the defendant may be prejudiced by offenses being tried together, Lau said. According to court documents, Neubaum shot Hopkins after becoming angry with him because he and another teen would not stop playing with an unloaded shotgun. Neubaum retrieved a loaded shotgun and fired a single shot, striking Hopkins in the head, court documents said. Neubaum is accused of sexually assaulting the girls who ranged in age from 13 to 16 from September through March in Mapleton. Neubaum repeatedly denied the accusations during an interview with investigators. If found guilty of first-degree murder, Neubaum would face a mandatory sentence of life in prison without parole. Each count of sexual abuse carries a 10-year prison sentence. Because he is a minor, the sentencing judge could have discretion to impose shorter sentences. Iowa buys 1 million non-medical masks purchased from GOP donors firm. Iowa has purchased 1 million face masks through a Republican campaign vendor that will be used by some healthcare workers despite labels that warn they aren't intended for medical purposes or hospitals, records show. The state's executive branch last month agreed to buy the reusable cotton masks from Competitive Edge, Inc. for $1.07 a piece and 1 million filter inserts for them, according to the documents recently made public. The $1.32 million contract was awarded to bolster the state's personal protective equipment supplies needed to fight the coronavirus pandemic. It was Iowa's fourth purchase order with the Des Moines company owned by David Greenspan, a GOP donor whose business has long sold promotional items such as signs to Republican campaigns. The packaging on the mask states that they are intended for non-medical persons who require protection from, quoting here, sprays, dusts, and random particulate debris and fluids. This product is not for use in hospitals for medical purposes, the packaging states, according to photos obtained by the Associated Press under open records law. The Food and Drug Administration issued an emergency authorization in April saying that non-medical masks can be worn by healthcare personnel to cover their noses and mouths to help prevent the spread of the virus, but the guidance warned that they aren't considered personal protective equipment and aren't to be substituted for respirators or surgical masks. Now some briefs from page A5. 2020 Plymouth County Fair has been called off. Lamar's, Iowa, the Plymouth County Fair will not be held in 2020, fair organizers wrote in a Facebook post Thursday night. It is with deep regret that the decision has been made to postpone the 2020 fair until 2021, Plymouth County Fair officials wrote. The fair board did not take this decision lightly, as these volunteers are some of the most passionate fair supporters you will find. Fair organizers are still trying to find a way to provide youth exhibit opportunities, according to the Facebook post. The announcement came down a day after the announcement that the Iowa State Fair is canceled this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Other county fairs in the area are expected to make announcements in coming weeks, or in the case of the Clay County Fair, by late July. An announcement from the Woodbury County Fair is expected after a June 22nd meeting, Fair Manager Andrea Fleck wrote in a text message Friday. Virginia Street at I-29 to close Saturday. Southbound Virginia Street at Interstate 29 will be closed Saturday for construction work. The Iowa Department of Transportation says the street will be closed from 7 a.m. Saturday until noon Sunday. Motorists on southbound Virginia Street to southbound I-29 will need to take an alternate route during the closure. All other roadways will remain open. More parks and rec facilities reopening. The city of Sioux City announced the reopening of additional parks and recreation facilities this month. The following facilities will reopen in accordance with state and local guidelines. Residents are encouraged to follow social distancing and good hygiene practices to keep everyone safe. On June 15th, the IBP Ice Center, reservations only, is their ruling on that. June 19th, playgrounds, park bathrooms, no drinking fountains, basketball courts, only one court where there are multiple courts. On June 21st, the Bandshell in Grandview Park will be open. On June 22nd, pickleball at the Long Lines Family Rec Center will open. On June 23rd, the climbing wall, members only and reservations only. The facility is closed on Mondays and Wednesdays during the summer. Rentals of park shelters, Cone Park Lodge, Anderson Dance Pavilion, and the Long Lines Family Rec Center Gym will remain closed at this time. Sioux City Pools will open for swim lessons, lap swim, and fitness class beginning June 22nd. Following the governor's June 12th proclamation, city leaders are evaluating the operation of opening pools for public swim in July based on limited capacity, additional staffing, costs, and social distancing. You can contact the Sioux City Parks and Recreation Office at 279-6126 with any questions. More briefs on page A6. Police searching for a shooting suspect. A juvenile male was taken to Mercy One Siouxland Medical Center Thursday night for what police are calling a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. At approximately 9:47 p.m. Thursday, South Sioux City Police responded to a report of shots fired in the area of the Parkview Trailer Court, 1203 First Avenue. Investigators discovered the victim, and he was transported to Mercy One by the South Sioux City Fire Department. Further investigation revealed that numerous shots were fired towards one of the trailer park's lots. The South Sioux City Police Department said this is an ongoing investigation, and no further information is available at this time. South Dakota man sentenced to federal prison. A Jefferson, South Dakota man was sentenced Thursday to nearly 4 years in federal prison for illegal possession of a handgun. Dennis Wynn, W-Y-N-N, 46 years old, had pleaded guilty in U.S. District Court in Sioux City in February to possession of a firearm by a felon and illegal drug user. He was sentenced to 46 months in prison. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, a June 2018 traffic stop led to the discovery of $4,650 in cash and admissions regarding the possession of methamphetamine and marijuana. Officers executing a search warrant at Wynn's home found the meth and marijuana and a semi-automatic .22 caliber pistol. Hamilton Boulevard to close between West 7th and Wesley Parkway. The segment of Hamilton Boulevard between West 7th Street and Wesley Parkway will be closed beginning Monday for a city street resurfacing project. Work is expected to continue until late July, according to a city press release. Northbound traffic will be detoured onto West 7th Street, Omaha Street, Wesley Parkway, and back to Hamilton Boulevard. Southbound traffic will be detoured onto West 14th Street, Panoa Street, and West 7th, and back to Hamilton. The closure is part of the city's annual resurfacing project, during which existing sidewalk curb ramps will be replaced, new curbs and gutters will be installed, concrete panels patched, and asphalt resurfaced. Other resurfacing locations this summer include Jackson Street from 5th to 14th Street, Jackson Street from 36th to 39th Street, and 30th Street from Jackson to Jones Street. Work at these locations is expected to begin in late July, with a planned completion date in late October. Moving over to sports and bad news for the local baseball fans. The X's season called off. Decision made on Friday to not play the 2020 campaign. For Sioux City Explorers manager Steve Montgomery, this is the first summer he won't be wearing a uniform in almost 20 years. For Explorers Director of Baseball and Stadium Operations Roy Pitkin, it's been about 50 years. The COVID-19 pandemic forced both of them to have a summer away from baseball. On Friday, while the Explorers called it a postponement of their 2020 season, it essentially canceled the 2020 campaign for the American Association Organization. It's obviously disappointing from the ownership on down. It's disappointing, Montgomery said. It's heartbreaking for the owner and all the way down to the players. I'm having to deliver bad news to players right now. I fully support owner John Roost, the president, Matt Adamski, Boyd, Connor Ryan, the full-time employees. I'm very proud to come up there every summer. It's disheartening, but at the same time, I support this decision. At no time am I disappointed with my organization. The decision comes a season after the Explorers played for the American Association Championship, finishing as the runner-up to the St. Paul Saints, who will be playing this season as one of six American Association teams that will go on with a 60-game campaign. In a press release, Roost said, "Not getting together this summer at the ballpark to enjoy the game we so dearly love will be disappointing, to say the least. Everyone in the organization truly looks forward to putting together a great season and making a run for a championship. We know that our baseball season isn't just a series of games. It is America's pastime and a passion that occupies valuable space in the hearts of all members of the Explorers family. It was a decision the organization didn't come to lightly. Back in April, the American Association decided to postpone the start of the season to July, but with no exact start date besides sometime in early July. Since then, the owners of the 12 American Association teams have had weekly conference calls to assess the possibilities of having a season and which organizations could participate. Teams had to factor in how to open their states were, and their own countries, as was the case for Winnipeg Goldeyes in Canada. Roost and the rest of the X's front office staff held out as long as they could, but stadiums in Iowa are not allowed to be filled to its maximum capacity yet, per a directive from Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. The coronavirus is still a concern, which is what caused the American Association season to be postponed in the first place. With everything we've been dealing with as an organization and as a society, it was just in the best interest, not just the organization, but for the fans, players, and the front office to not have a season, Pitkin said. The coronavirus did play a big role. At a time right now, it's a worrisome situation. We did not come to this decision lightly. Steve, myself, pitching coach Bobby Post, John, we all wanted to play, but this is in the best interest of the organization. There was a lot of stuff in this stadium we would need to do for our staff and our fans. Just a lot of things had to go right for us to play. However, when things shifted in the wrong direction, it was a quick decision. Roost held out on this decision for a while. Pitkin said the decision was at 50-50 for weeks, but the decision tilted in the wrong way recently. Unfortunately, it went into the 50 where we are not playing. It's okay. We will be back strong and ready to go for 2021, Pitkin said. John made the decision Friday during the meeting that we would not be playing. We held out as long as we could to get as much information as possible. Based on the info we have from the local government and Siouxland, that's when he made the decision to postpone the 2020 season. I would like to thank our fans and sponsors as they stuck with us as long as they could. They are a vital part of the organization, and I hope we will be seeing them in 2021. The press release went out at 4:25 p.m. Friday. Montgomery found out about the decision a couple of hours before that. I think my owner did what is in the best interest for Sioux City, the community, the host families, everything. He's been very supportive, and I think it's a good decision for him, Montgomery said. We are looking at 2021 now. I don't think the goals change, and we are going to build a roster that all of us from Sioux City will be proud of. Montgomery said he plans to be back for the 2021 season, and the X's have had plenty of success under his watch. Since 2015, the Explorers have had four winning seasons with him, and last season was the organization's second trip to the championship series with Montgomery at the helm. The Cleburne Railroaders, the Gary South Shore Railcats, the Kansas City T-Bones, the Lincoln Salt Dogs, and the Texas Air Hogs were the other five American Association teams who also decided to suspend operations for 2020. The Chicago Dogs, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, the Winnipeg Goldeyes, the Milwaukee Milkmen, the Saints, and the Sioux Falls Canaries will all continue with a 2020 American Association season that consists of a 60-game season starting on Friday, July 3rd. The American Association will begin the season operating out of three locations with games hosted by the Red Hawks, the Milkmen, and the Canaries. Each team will play 42 of their 60 games in their hub to limit travel. Fans are also planned to be in attendance. "It's just your competitive nature to get out there and want to play," Pitkin said. "You see other teams out there, you want to get out there. That's on a selfish standpoint. On a non-selfish standpoint, you look at the big picture, and that's how the decision was made." A draft of players from non-participating American Association clubs will happen to allow the best possible talent available to play this season. The Explorers had 24 players signed for the 2020 season. "We have some very loyal players. They were all looking forward to putting that uniform on," Montgomery said. "There could be an opportunity to play in another city through the draft. Whether they want to go or not, it's up to them. We would retain the rights for the following season." Montgomery will now spend his summer with his family in Tampa Bay, Florida. The 46-year-old has been married for 19 years, and the couple has two kids, a son who is 16 and a daughter who's 12. It will be the first time Montgomery has gotten to spend a full summer with his family. "I'm going to take advantage of that," Montgomery said. "I've been working with my son over the last 4 months. He's a baseball player and is talented, and I'm taking advantage of this. I am probably going to coach his team. I have the chance to spend 18 months with them, and I need to take advantage of that." Time now for Dear Abby, and the first letter is by Depressed in North Carolina. It's titled, "Granddaughter Wants Wedding with No Family in Attendance." "Dear Abby, our first granddaughter is getting married in 6 months and has told her parents that no one from either family is invited to the wedding. They want to get married by themselves because they are both shy and don't want to be the center of attention. At first I was okay with it, but the more I thought about it, the more hurt I felt. The confusing part about this is she wants a pre-wedding party for both families to attend. So I asked her to keep an open mind and think about having the party right after the marriage ceremony. Now she won't talk to me. Was I wrong to suggest an idea? My husband is now saying he doesn't want to attend any party that we'll have. I can't stop thinking about our daughter and how she feels about not being able to see her daughter get married. I'm afraid I may have made things worse, and I am very depressed. I just want to fix it so everyone is happy. Help!" Signed, Depressed in North Carolina. "Dear Depressed, so you have appointed yourself the official family fixer? Your shy granddaughter and her fiancé appear to be confirmed introverts. If they prefer to take their vows privately, it's their privilege, and you shouldn't personalize it. That was your mistake. While I don't think you have committed a cardinal sin, and I do think your granddaughter overreacted, you shouldn't feel the need to mend any fences. As to how your daughter will feel about not seeing her daughter get married, that is not your problem. Take a step back and let the bride and groom celebrate their day as they wish. P.S. I find it odd that the bride and groom would want any party feeling the way that they do about the ceremony." Next letter is from Myob, M-Y-O-B, one of my favorite phrases, M-Y-O-B in Massachusetts. "Dear Abby, why do people feel compelled to ask if my dog was adopted or rescued? I have wanted a dog for at least 5 years. Because I was in nursing school, I waited until I graduated, and then my partner and I researched extensively. While I love the idea of adopting, sheltering, or rescuing, we wanted a purebred German Shepherd puppy. My son and I both have mental health issues, and our dog has been a huge help and an antidepressant all in one. It is unfair that people ask these questions or have the audacity to make faces and comments when I say no. I have neither the desire nor the capacity to mend or train a potentially broken dog. How I got her is no one's business but ours and our vet's. The best response I have heard when someone asks if a dog is adopted or rescued is, 'No, she's biological.' I've used it only once, but I got my point across. Please remind your readers that asking these questions is rude." Signed, MYOB in Massachusetts. "Dear Myob, I'm willing to remind them, but whether they'll pay attention is anyone's guess. What these people are doing is expressing the idea that animals who are in need of a good home should take priority. That said, there's nothing wrong with having a purebred animal if that is your preference. P.S. I hear a lot lately about people adopting dogs during this quarantine period because they are desperate for company. I sincerely hope the animals will not be forgotten or discarded once the quarantine is lifted and folks return to their somewhat normal lives." Okay, taking one last look at the weather again. Partly sunny for today, breezy this afternoon, a high of 91 degrees. Tonight, breezy with patchy clouds, a low of 65. Windy picking up tomorrow, wind picking up tomorrow, Sunday. Windy with times of clouds and sun, a high of 60 degrees, wind south-southeast 20 to 30 miles an hour. 73 for the low Sunday night. Monday, windy and hot with high clouds. Wind south-southeast 15 to 25, a high of 94 on Monday, a high of 95 on Tuesday, and a high of 92 on Wednesday, all with quite a bit of breeze. And that does it for the reading of the Sioux City Journal for today, Saturday, June 13th, 2020. I almost forgot the date. For the last hour, the stories have been selected and read by me, John Reef. All material heard on Iris is solely designed for the use of the blind and print handicapped. If you have any questions, you can call Iris toll-free at 800-404-4747. And we want to thank you for listening to Iris, your radio reading service.